From time to time, it is good to pause and take time to survey, as the songwriter penned in that song, to look upon and examine the cross and just consider what it means to our lives and how we should respond to it. So thankful for the cross of Jesus Christ. Well, would you join me in the 31st Psalm as we continue our summer in Psalms journey? When you have found your place in Psalm 31, this particular psalm is 24 verses long. We'll read it responsively this evening, and so I will read the odd-numbered verses beginning with verse 1. You read the even-numbered verses beginning with verse 2 as a congregation. But as we read this particular psalm, I want you to pay very close attention to the strong sense of emotion that is throughout. So we'll read it responsively, me reading the the odd-numbered verses, you as a congregation reading the even-numbered verses. Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men.
Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep him secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues.
Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city.
Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee.
O love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again so much for the opportunity to be here this evening. Thank you for those who are gathered together to praise your name and hear from your word. Thank you for those who are watching by way of our webcast. I pray that you would help them to put aside distractions, all of us to put aside distractions, that we may focus in on what you want to share with us this evening. God, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts of encouragement and comfort tonight. We'll be sure to praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Psalm 31 is a very emotional psalm. If you paid attention as we were reading through it, you would have picked up in several ways the strong emotion that is being pictured in the man that is spoken about. Psalm 31 is what we would call a lament psalm of David that depicts a man in anguish. Is it any wonder when you read of his experience? You read through this psalm, you find a man who is encumbered with guilt, affliction, enmity, physical distress, social rejection, slander, and conspiracy that beset him. Throughout this psalm, he portrays the state of his life and being with illustrations such as a besieged city, a lost child. And he spoke of dreading becoming ensnared and ashamed. Look back at verses 10 through 13 again, just as a small sample, and consider if you've ever experienced any of these emotions. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. Can you hear the strong emotion that is being demonstrated through the words, the phrases, the verbalization of this man's feelings and experiences? You listen to those verses and you come to the conclusion that this man's experiences could not have gotten much worse. They were about as bad as you could possibly be. In fact, this psalm is referenced by others in the Bible who were in very distressful situations. Jeremiah. What do we call Jeremiah? The weeping prophet. Of course, the penman of the book of Jeremiah, as well as Lamentations, lamenting. Jeremiah referred back to this psalm 6 times in the works that he penned. Jonah quoted it while in the belly of the whale. Doesn't get a whole lot worse than that. Jesus himself quoted this psalm as he was hanging on the cross. So future people in the scriptures who knew of this psalm, in their own distress, looked back to this psalm as a way to describe what they were going through. So there's certainly no question that the man that is being described in this psalm was in a very, very bad situation. And yet, in all of these experiences, he testified 15 times in this psalm of his devotion to God. Fifteen times he wrote about how he trusted the Lord, how he loved the Lord, how he had given himself over to the Lord. And yet, even though he was devoted to the Lord, he went through some pretty difficult experiences, experiences that brought anguish into his life. And yet, as you read Psalm 31, which we did, all 24 verses, why this man should experience this anguish is never explained. Never in any of these 24 verses is the reason why he should go through these challenges, or why he should have these experiences, or why he should experience this anguish described in this text. Never once do we have a reason given. Never once is some explanation for why he should go through this anguish, though he was devoted to God, given for us to ponder. What is described in this psalm is how he reacted to the anguish. The man described, whether it is David or some other individual, turned from his anguish to assurance in God as he remembered the truth of who God is. Have you ever experienced anguish? Anguish in your life, anguish in your soul, anguish in your spirit. You probably can relate to some extent with the various types and levels of emotions that are described in this text. You have had experiences like these. You may have been in situations where your feelings could be described as what the residents of a besieged city feel. Hopefully you've never been in that situation exactly, but maybe you've been in situations where you felt the way that they might feel. Trapped, no way out, surrounded on every side, pressures and troubles coming at you from every direction, and you're looking all about 360 degree view and you don't see any way through or any way out. You feel trapped. A lost child. Have you ever known a lost child? I remember almost 2 years ago now, taking our children to the North Carolina State Fair over there in Raleigh. And as soon as you came in the gates there at the state fair, if you had children, they would pull you off to the side and encourage you to attach an identification to your child. And the individual who was helping us explained that part of the reason they do that is because several children are lost at the state fair every day. And it helps the workers know, okay, this is who the child is, this is who the parents are. Have you ever been the parent in that situation where you hear the loudspeaker come on and, "Michael Willard, we have your son, we have your daughter, it's such and such"? I'll tell you, it is hard to keep track of Michael when we're at places. He can disappear quicker than anything. We start looking around and he's anywhere. He's behind the counter. He's walking out the front door. He's hiding somewhere. The man in this text describes feeling the way a lost child would. Maybe you've known what it is to be paralyzed by the dread of what tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year has in store. You're looking ahead, thinking about what's to come, maybe wondering about what's to come, and it brings dread and terror into your heart, and it really paralyzes you. It keeps you from moving in any direction because of the fear of what may be. That's not a good place to be, is it? Not a good place to be at all. And in that place, we are prone to question why we should experience the anguish that we do. We want a reason, don't we? We want an explanation for why we should be going through an experience that would bring on emotions such as those that would produce anguish in our lives. However, rather than an explanation of why we should experience that anguish, what we need to consider even more is how will we react. When we're in that situation, that experience that produces anguish in us, how will we react to that situation? Listen closely and don't miss the truth of Psalm 31. Even if the reason for your anguish remains unchanged, you can live in assurance of who God is. You may not have an explanation or a reason for the experience, for the anguish that you are feeling in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. But even if the reason for that anguish remains unchanged, you can live in assurance of who God is. I picked out four truths from this text. Very simple, written right for us in the text, that remind us about who God is. That we can live in assurance of these truths, even if the reason for our anguish remains unchanged. I want you to note, number one, that you can live in assurance of who God is because He is your strength. He is your strength. Do you ever feel that you're too weak to carry on? Do you ever sense that you can't stand another attack? You can't take another hit. The Bible speaks to us here in Psalm 31 about enemies and one who is under attack. And of course, so often we picture war and battle in our minds, and the picture is not lost, but we need to consider it in the sense of even spiritual warfare that we are involved in all the time. The Bible speaks to us in Ephesians chapter 6 about the wiles of the devil being like fiery darts that are being tossed, cast our direction. He's that roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And maybe you've been hit. Maybe you even feel that you're down. Maybe even down for the count. You can't take any more. You're in anguish. This individual's fears, emotions, because of all that he experienced running away with him, caused him to be in that place where he thought he couldn't take any more. He spoke in this passage of Scripture about being even near the grave, being like a dead man. Look there again. Verse 11, I was a reproach among all mine enemies. Well, that shouldn't surprise us. Of course, enemies are going to consider us a reproach. But then what does he go on and say? But especially among my neighbors. this speaks of those closest to us, those who are our closest acquaintances, our closest friends, our closest allies. And a fear to mine acquaintance, they that did see me without fled from me, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. Here the Bible speaks not only of being under those attacks by the enemy, but because of what you're enduring and the anguish that you're experiencing, even those who are near to you seem to reject you, seem to turn away from you, seem to turn their mind and heart, perhaps in just an uncaring or a neglectful sort of way, away from you. And the person that this is being written about essentially has the idea that I might as well be dead. Everyone's forgotten about me, neglected me, is careless of me. Maybe you've been in that place or even are in that place where you have those kind of emotions. You think you just can't take any more. What does he say, though, in verse number 4? The writer here goes back and forth between his anguish and assurance, but in the midst of praise, really, of God, he says in verse 4, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. Read the last phrase with me. For thou art my strength. The word strength here speaks of a refuge, a mountain fortress that you can run to and resort to for protection. And he speaks of that. Verse number 2, deliver me speedily, be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. And then of verse 4 again, for thou art my strength. Throughout the Psalms, the Bible speaks of God as a fortress and a refuge, a tower of defense that we can resort to and run to. He speaks in Psalm 91, one of my favorite songs, about being hidden there under the shadow of the Almighty, having the protection of God. Now, where we sometimes get into trouble is thinking, well, if God is my refuge, God is my fortress and my tower, why is it that I would experience anything that would bring anguish? The reality is that we need to remember that our all-knowing, all-powerful God shields us from anything and everything that is not in His plan for us. Shields us from anything and everything that is beyond what we can bear, beyond what we can handle, beyond what would be actually for our good. We also need to remember that there are times when we're in those situations and going through those experiences that we don't resort to Him as our shield and our defense. We don't have to live in anguish. We can live in assurance because He is your strength. I want you to see a second truth, though. We don't have to live in anguish. We can live in assurance because He is merciful. This theme comes up over and over again between verses 7 and 16. Notice at the beginning of verse 7, He says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. You might jot down in your notes that mercy throughout Psalm 31 speaks of graciousness and faithfulness. It speaks of the reality that God is always there for us, that His grace and His mercy are always available and know no end. So no matter where we may be in our lives, no matter what we may be experiencing, God's mercy, His grace, His faithfulness is there and present and available to us. And so the writer can say, even in the middle of his anguish, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. But then if you will notice, he says in verse number 9, have mercy upon me, O Lord. He's asked God to protect him from the net that they've laid for him. He's asked God to consider his trouble and to know him in his adversities. He talks about how God has shut him up. But then he says, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. I'll be glad and rejoice in your mercy, your grace, your faithfulness that's always available. But God, I'm in need of it right now." We know, don't we, that God is always faithful to us. I'm thankful especially for the truth that God is faithful to us even when we're unfaithful to him. Because I don't know about you, but there have been so many times in my life that I've been unfaithful, and yet he has abided faithful. There have been times in my life, and we know the truth that he's faithful and that he's gracious and that he's merciful. But you're in that situation. You know he is, and you know it's available to you. But you need it right now. Cry out to him, asking him for it. Verses 10 through 13, which we have looked at and referenced, are the deepest and, even if you will, the darkest parts of this passage, the anguish of this individual's soul and experience. In the midst of that anguish, he asks God for his mercy. And then notice, after expressing the deepest, darkest parts of his experiences in anguish, in verse number 14, he turns again and he says, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." Verse 16, "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake." Earlier in the text, when he identified his assurance in God, who is his strength, he said in verse 5, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit." He committed his very life to God. Now, in the middle of his deepest and darkest expression of anguish, and yet his recognition of the mercy of God, the grace and the faithfulness of God, he says, "My times are in thy hand." You might jot down that "my times" speaks of all that encompassed his life. All the circumstances, all the experience, everything that he had gone through, everything that he felt he had missed out on, all of the emotions that were pouring out of him in the middle of the anguish, he knew everything that encompassed his life was in God's hands. And in the midst of it, he asked God for mercy and expressed that he trusted in the mercy of God. Friends, you don't have to live in the anguish. You can live in assurance of who God is because he is merciful, because he is your strength. Notice, thirdly, you can live in assurance of who God is because he is good. Aren't you thankful for the goodness of God? He cries out to God, asking God, "God, don't let me be ashamed. Let the wicked be ashamed." Have you ever gotten hung up on how it seems that good people endure a lot of bad and bad people seem to get a lot of good? You ever gotten hung up on that? Has that ever consumed your mind, your thoughts? It consumed the psalmist, various of the psalmist's thoughts. This is a psalm of David, and he's writing about it here in Psalm 73. The psalmist Asaph will write about how when he considered and looked at the prosperity of the wicked, he said, "My foot well nigh slipped. The ground almost went out from under me when I looked at and perceived the prosperity of the wicked and wondered, why do I cleanse my hands and my heart in vanity? I try to do what's right." They don't even try, and yet they're prosperous. The psalmist here is saying, "Don't let me be ashamed. Let the wicked be ashamed." Why am I the one in anguish? They should be. Let them be the ones who go down to the grave and are forgotten, not me who praises your name. But then, as he continued to think upon these things, look at what he says again in verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. You might jot down that this is the Romans 8:28 of the Old Testament right here. How great is your goodness that you've laid up for them that fear thee. What's Romans 8:28 say? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Here the psalmist, as he's thinking about himself and his anguish and the wicked and their apparent prosperity, and basically saying to God, this situation ought to be reversed. But then he comes back and he remembers the goodness of God and how God stores up his goodness. His goodness is beyond our measure and imagination, that is stored up for them that fear him. He has it in store. We experience it so often in our lives, often neglecting it or missing it or not recognizing it or focusing on the negative, the bad, instead of the goodness that we experience and that we receive. When God pours out so much on us and has much more in store. Friends, don't live in anguish. Live in assurance of who God is, because he is good. And then fourthly, and we'll conclude, you don't have to live in anguish, but you can live in assurance of who God is because of his marvelous kindness, because he is marvelously kind. It's interesting that the phrase translated marvelous kindness there in verse number 21 is translated from a very near word to the same word that is translated mercy or mercies throughout Psalm 31. Whereas that word focuses on the graciousness or the faithfulness of God, this word focuses on the kindness, the compassion, the love. In fact, you might even write down in your notes or in your Bible there that marvelous kindness has the idea of steadfast love. What's he say about it? Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. The interesting connection here in the text that you need to understand is that strong city here is actually that picture of a besieged city. He's not speaking here about being in a strong city in the sense of being in a strong position or a defensed position necessarily. He's talking about being in the middle of that situation where he feels closed in upon, where he feels trapped. He feels just the way a resident of a besieged city would feel, as the enemy has surrounded them, is blocking off all access and blocking off all the supplies coming into and leaving the city. And yet he says, even in the middle of that situation, when I'm experiencing those types of emotions, when I'm in the middle of that kind of anguish and grief of soul and spirit, God has showed me his marvelous kindness. Even there, I experience and am a recipient of the steadfast love. Isn't it wonderful to know that no matter what my experiences of life are, no matter what I may go through that will cause me to have anguish of heart and soul like this individual that the psalmist wrote about, that I can know God loves me. He loves me just as much then as when I'm going through the experiences that I enjoy, that I think are good. His love never ends. His love knows no measure. His love knows no boundaries. His steadfast love is always present and faithful. And so what does the psalmist declare to us in verses 23 and 24? This is the challenge. This is the exhortation. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. It is not a good place to be, to live in anguish. We don't have to. Even when the experiences are bad, we can live in assurance because of who God is. He is your strength. He is merciful. He is good. He is marvelously kind. You can read through this psalm, and perhaps you would on your own time, and find some other reminders about who God is that will give you assurance rather than living in anguish. But these four were certainly an encouragement to my heart, and I hope they will be to yours. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? So thankful that even in the bad experiences of life, I don't have to live in anguish. I can live in assurance because of who God is. Can I encourage you to make that your focus, make that your emphasis, even when you're going through those bad experiences? Those experiences that produce emotions that would lead to anguish. Focus your attention on who God is and live in that assurance. Maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart. Maybe you're in a time right now where the emotions are bringing anguish. God's encouraged and comforted your heart tonight. Why don't you thank Him for that? And ask Him to help you to live in assurance of who He is rather than in anguish. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the reminders from your word, for the encouragement and comfort. I pray that as we depart from this place this evening, that we would take these encouragements with us, that we would live in recognition of who you are, and that it would give us assurance even in the times when anguish could rule. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts and lives, that we might focus on who you are. And we will be sure to praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray.